I'm turning again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. I just want to repeat a few of these verses 7 to 11, to fix them in our minds tonight, to hear what the Lord would say to our waiting hearts. So Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at food with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, we know that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he never strayed far, if ever, from the gospel that he had come to bring. The good news, that men and women and youngsters may be forgiven of all their sins and have hell exchanged for heaven. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, we could make out the case for almost everything that he said had to do with this important matter, especially in the parables. The parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, why, I think practically every one of them has to do with heaven and hell. Often the Lord Jesus Christ would introduce a parable and he would say something like this. He would say, the kingdom of heaven is like. And what he meant was, getting into heaven is like this. It's like this story that he would tell. And it would be a parable, a picture that would show a spiritual truth of how someone would enter into the spiritual kingdom of heaven. And he would speak about getting into the spiritual kingdom of God. He would say, it's like this. And then he would tell a parable. Well, he would show the great requirements of getting into such a kingdom and into heaven eternally. And he would show how it would come by repentance, a turning away from the old life and a sorrowing over sin. And he would show that only by repentance will God forgive and save, oh, and bring salvation to a soul. Now, these are the things we always look for in the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't always appear so, as with our parable here tonight. But if we approach such a parable looking for what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here about salvation, we will always find help. You know, some of the old writers, they used to look at these parables and they used to say this: we are to look for grace. We are to look for grace in the story, as here someone was about to receive something he had never earned. That's what grace is. That's what grace is all about. You see, God giving to us the exact opposite of what we deserve. You see, all men and women, because of their sin and their rebellion against God, well, we know what they deserve. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, eternal death, which is hell. It's not annihilation. It's not destruction in the sense that we cease to exist. But eternal death is being cut off from God. Just as with ordinary physical death, we're cut off from family, cut off from friends, cut off from all others in this world. Well, eternal death is to be cut off from God and all that's good and noble and lovely and satisfying. Oh, friends, we understand something of that. Well, God in his grace gives to some heaven, not deserved, never earned. We know that. We see it from all the scriptures, and we know that we could never earn a place in heaven. So that is grace. So when we look at a parable, we look for grace. Where does this show us? God giving us something we don't deserve. Oh, and we can see it quite easily here in this parable. Well, this lesson from this parable on the surface is very easy. It's a parable about humility. Well, you can see that. Just let's look quickly through these verses. And he puts forth the parable and he says, when they come to such a place, he had already marked out what had happened on that day when he had come to the feast in a very large house of one of the chief Pharisees, one of the top clerics of the nation there. And he marked how these Pharisees came in, these proud men, and they chose out the chief rooms, the chief places, you know, the word room is our old-fashioned word for place, but we still use the word. You know, there's a few children sitting on the bench, and there's still a bit more room, and another child comes up and says, "Make room for me." Well, we know the meaning of such a word. Well, this room, this place. Well, he saw how they chose out the chief of the places there. And the Lord Jesus in the parable says, when you're bidden of any man to a wedding, say, in verse 8, don't sit down in the highest place. Don't sit down in the highest place, because it may be that there's someone more honourable than yourself that has been invited to this wedding. And verse 9, he that bade thee has to come and say to thee, in a very uncomfortable situation where all the seats really are more or less taken up, he has to say to someone more honourable than you, "Well, give this man place." And you begin with shame to take the lowest place, which is the only one that is left. But far better, he says in verse 10, when you're bidden to a feast, well, go and sit in the very lowest place. And then when those that are in charge of the feast, they say, "Well, he shouldn't be sitting there." And they come to you and say, "Friend, come up higher, come to a more honourable place." And then everyone will sort of not exactly clap, but they will applaud in their hearts. "Oh, it's good to see our friend going up to the highest place." And so the Lord makes the actual punchline, as we sometimes call it there in verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Wow, there's the simple lesson of humility, and we could put it into practice in many, many situations in our lives. But thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ in this situation, here we have to think to ourselves, the Lord wasn't just teaching about humility. He wasn't just teaching that here were a load of proud people that needed to be taught a lesson in humility. Of course, that was there. These Pharisees, well, they were such proud people. They were awful, really. But you can be sure of this, friends. Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ found himself, he found himself amongst men and women that he knew where they would end up. He knew they were on the high road to hell. He knew that they were unsaved, unforgiven for their sins, that their proud hearts would not make them to seek the Lord. And so we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine on such an occasion as this, as he tells this parable, that he was just thinking of a lesson on humility. Surely, surely the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking of the grand subject that he brought to this world, the grand mission that he came on, the gospel of redeeming grace. And in these words, we only have to take a little thought, and we see that here also he's bringing the gospel to these people, speaking of how a man, a woman, a youngster may exchange hell for heaven, may have their sins forgiven, may know what it is to accept the invitation of God to come to him and know his blessing and his very great help. Well, we'll see this in just a moment. We want to see what this parable has to do with life and the death of the soul and the spiritual state, and to do with eternity. We can be sure that in this house, verse 1, of one of the chief of the Pharisees, well, he knew all their hearts. He knew their pride. He knew that they were lost sinners. He knew that many of them were hypocrites. Well, God hates all that sort of thing. He hates it. Such people can never enter into his heaven without being changed, without being converted, without a change of heart and mind. They were heading for hell without knowing it. Do we think that the Lord would sit there and give a nice lesson on humility? No, this is so much more important than that. This is a lesson in salvation. Look at these words at the end of verse 9. "Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest place." Verse 10, "But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest place. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at food with thee." Up higher, even to heaven. Do you begin to see the key to this parable? We look at this bearing in mind the rest of the Bible's teaching, the gospel message. This is how we shall be saved and come to the very highest place. our friends. This is vital for our understanding. This is a parable about places. You see that in verse 7. He marked how they chose out the chief places. And verse 8, when you're bidden to a wedding, well, so often they sat in the highest place. Don't do that, says the Lord. Sit in the lowest place. You can see it is a parable about places. But in the end, only two matter: that very high place and that very low place. We're not talking geography here, of course. We're talking about the state of the heart. Well, life is full of thinking about where we are, where we want to get to in this world, whether we are comfortable where we are, whether we're happy where we are, or content, or perhaps we're anxious, or what sort of place we are in. God knows what sort of place we're in. Perhaps we're in a hard place at the moment. Great difficulties, not knowing what to do in some situations, in our family, concerning our incomes, concerning our relationships, all sorts of things. We're in a hard place. Well, the Lord knows where we are, but where are we going? Well, the Lord tells us here that there are really only two places that we ought to be concerned about, even in this life, the two places we may end up in for all eternity. We live for a few short years here, but heaven and hell are forever. At the weddings, these people thought about where they wanted to be. So should we contemplate eternity. How little do people consider such a gigantic personal subject of where we shall be as we quit this world? Now, also here in verse 8, you see there's a great note of caution from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, sit not down in the highest place. That's a word of caution from the Lord Jesus Christ that should make us think. What does he mean? And I don't think really there's any trouble where we sit down at our weddings in today's society. Usually we're told, aren't we, there's that little card with our name on it. No, this is much more serious than that. We are bidden to carefully consider the two great places of destiny, where we will end up after the day of judgment. We cannot emphasize more strongly the importance of this great matter. We may greatly attend to this word tonight, but old friends, that it might sink down into our hearts and minds to consider it until we know for sure that we are the Lord's. Oh, here we have words from the lips of the Saviour. Why? Because he has our eternal welfare at hand, at heart. When he says this parable to these proud Pharisees, he has their hearts and their lives in his mind. He's hoping that they will come and believe him and trust in him and put their pride aside and seek God for forgiveness and an end to their hypocrisy, that they might know the Lord's real blessing, because they were on the way to hell and they didn't know it. Well, friends, we must understand that here in this parable, one guest is spoken to, and then the other, and we're told the places that they end up in, obviously, only two in eternity, heaven and hell, one glorious, one a place of everlasting satisfaction, of joy, of bliss we cannot really describe, a place of wonder where God is, where God dwells, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all his people shall fix their eyes on him and worship him for all eternity, a place of great discovery that will take an eternity to take in. As we travel the vast realms of God's heaven, it will be as physical as now, but spiritual as well. Wonderful. We can't really grasp this, but this is something of what the Bible tells us of this glorious heaven. That's one place, the very, very highest place. But then that other place, the very lowest place, well, we hardly like to describe the hell and separation from God and separation from all that's good, all that's satisfying, all that's peaceful, and all that's lovely. Oh, friends, we see that hell is a place of darkness and of anguish and of wretchedness. Oh, and that will continue forever. Well, I believe described in this parable as the very lowest place. You can understand that. One, a place of shame. The other, a place of worship and honour. Who cannot see that heaven and hell are here contrasted? It's plain and so simple. So profound is this simple parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few words and the Lord says it all. He says it all. He explains here the most crucial of all subjects, our eternal destiny, all in words of sublime simplicity, or that we might follow this all so carefully. Now, the most important thing is how one ends up there at such different places. This is what we need to know. This is what we search for here this evening, friends. We must not think that God has never said anything about this mighty subject. The Bible's full of it. And even if we do not believe in heaven or hell, we surely are a little curious about what the Bible teaches, how it is that a man, a woman, a youngster ends up in heaven, and how another ends up in hell. This is not a question of conjecture. It's not, well, I think this and you think that. It's not something to be debated by the Oxford Union or picked over by a panel of the Moral Maze on Radio 4. This is revelation. Only God knows these things. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, God from heaven, can tell us this, the truth. Only he can give us reliable information. Only he will tell us the truth. We believe him, or we go on guessing. But can we not see that all such revelation is given in love and compassion for our souls? All such warning come from the God who is the God of love. We must believe him. Look here at a similarity, not a difference. There in verse 8, all are bidden, all are invited to the wedding. In the parable, this invitation, this feast is to a wedding. And these two men, they represent us all. There is a very great matter to which God invites us all. This invitation is so important, but so misunderstood. When we invite people, we usually invite them to church. We invite the youngsters to come to Sunday school. Well, we invite people and we say, come and hear God's word. Come and hear something from the Bible. But friends, that's not really it. The invitation really of the Bible is, come to Christ. Come to heaven. Because only by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ will you ever come to heaven. Well, what does this mean? This invitation to come to Christ. It means come back to God. Come back to God. Come to Christ for forgiveness. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him. Accept this invitation to come and trust in him and what he has done on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins and the consequences of our sin. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive new life, spiritual life, eternal life. Come and be different. Come and be changed. Come and be converted. Come and experience Christian conversion so you'll never be the same, so that you'll belong to the Lord and you'll be safely in heaven one day. Now, in the teaching of the Lord Jesus, we are all invited. We're invited to come to God, to seek him, the Saviour. And to most of us, well, heaven seems a good prospect, doesn't it? Hell is frightening, even if we only half believe it. Most people will think, if it doesn't involve too much, if it does not require too much of me, if heaven is a free gift, well, it's worth accepting. And we want to ask, how is it that although all these accept, yet one ends up in one place, the lowest place, another ends up in the very highest place? They all seem to accept this invitation, but they end up in very different places. This is the crux of the matter. As we think of this here tonight, God offers us heaven. What do we think of that? How do we react to such an invitation? How do we accept such an invitation? You see, everything hinges on the state of heart and mind of these guests. This parable of the Lord is all about how the invitation is accepted. That's really the title of this sermon tonight. How the invitation is accepted. What were they thinking as they went to this wedding, as they arrived? One sought out the very best place. And that teaches us what he thought of himself as he sat down and then was humiliatingly led to the very lowest seat. Another came and deliberately sat in the very lowest seat. And that teaches us what he thought of himself. And we see that he was exalted to the very highest place. And it's in this that the Lord is at pains to teach us how we will be saved. The invitation is before you. Come to Christ. Come and repent of your sin. Come and seek his forgiveness and pardon. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ's work on Calvary's cross as he died in the place of sinners like us, taking the wrath and judgment of God that we deserve for all eternity. Follow him to heaven. Friends, there's nothing here about those who turned down the invitation. That came in the next parable that we read of here, where the Lord said, none of them that were bidden should taste of my feast in heaven, those that didn't take up the invitation. So we have nothing here about those that do not accept the invitation, but we're looking at how these people accepted this invitation. What do we think of it? God invites us to heaven. Do we say, well, okay, that's fine? Do we say, well, I think that God should do that for me? Do we say, well, surely all will go to heaven who have lived a half decent life? Or do we say, well, I always felt that it was my right, that God should be good always and bring me to his heaven? Do we think that heaven is automatic? Do we think that hell, think of hell and think it will be unjust for God to put me there? Do we think we have an automatic right to heaven as we sort of just turn up and take the highest seat? Can we be so sure? Does not this very parable make us hesitate about that being the case? Why should the Lord Jesus tell us all this if our place in heaven was assured? The Lord would have us picture this proud Pharisee invited to the wedding feast. He's glad in his heart of such an invitation. He accepts it. He arrives. He looks round at the arrangements. He sees there is an empty seat in the very chief place. And immediately his thought is, that's for me. It's been reserved for me. That's my place. He thinks, of course, it's been reserved for him. He thinks, my dignity requires it. It is my right. My standing in society demands that I should have this chief place. This is my destiny, to have the chief place and the applause of all those round about. He sits down in such a place without the least compunction. There's no scruple, no hesitating, no second thought. The seat is his. The place is his. Of course it is, he thinks. And then comes the crushing humiliation. He's told to take the lowest place. There's no other place left. There is no other place but the lowest place. The one he is sitting in is reserved, but not for him. He must vacate it. All his shame, all his humiliating, crushing. For a Pharisee, it was the very worst thing that could happen in his life, that could ever happen to him. Friends, we're called upon by the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that knows about these matters, to consider this man. So many think, I have a right to heaven, the chief place. So many think, I'm qualified for heaven. I've lived a half-decent life. Oh, I know I've not been perfect, but I haven't done anyone harm. And I care about other people, and I've done my bit. So really, I'm qualified for a place in heaven. Or they think, God will not punish me. God will not punish me. Look around. There are others that are invited that are not so special. Well, this is my rightful place, a place in heaven. Some might think, well, I've had a lot to put up with in this life, so God must make it up for me. I deserve a place in heaven. Imagine what it would be like if such a thing happened to you in life, in a real wedding. Well, I think you might run out with shame and never really talk to those people again. But this is an earthly situation that the story is set in. But on that great day, as we stand before the Lord, oh, the shame, the crushing humiliation, as God says, give place, give place. Heaven is not reserved for you. It will be crushing. It will be frightening. It will be a terror that we've never ever experienced in this life. A proud heart, a selfish soul, a haughty mind will never find its way into heaven. You see there in verse 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Fearful. Oh, friends, don't make this mistake. Don't make this mistake. This is the very worst thing that we could ever be wrong about in this life, in thinking that heaven is ours by right. Consider the other guest he's invited. He arrives. He looks around. There's only one place for him that he feels at home in. Just right. The very lowest place. Why? He wonders why he's been invited at all. He can hardly believe that he has been remembered. He wonders at such a thing. He's amazed. He's amazed that the host should take the trouble to invite him. Why, there's all these grand people here that he feels are so much better than him. And here are all these good things to enjoy at this feast. He's quite content to enjoy the lowest place. He hardly feels that he should be there at all. Imagine his wonder. Imagine his excitement as he sits full of amazement when here in verse 10, well, one comes to him and says, Friend, go up higher. And then he felt the worship in the presence of those that sat at food with him. Oh, he was amazed that such a thing should happen. Oh, the honour, the joy. He's almost bursting. He can't believe it. He's been put in the highest place. He knows he doesn't deserve it. He knows he should be in the lowest place. But here he is. It's true. He's in the most honoured place. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Can we see what this is all about? How a man, a woman, a youngster finds their way to heaven? Such a soul can hardly even believe that they've been invited. They see their sin. They see that they've broken God's law, ignored God, offended God. They see all that. They see that their sin is not just the odd lie or the odd mean way of working. No, they see they're sinners. They see that they're sinful through and through, snatching at all that God has given to them and using it on themselves in a selfish way, not thanking God for anything. They're not serious. They realise that through life they've never been serious about spiritual things. Perhaps they've made a mess of life itself, and they're full of self and full of pride. And they see that they deserve God's punishment, owning personally that that person deserves to be punished for his great offence against God. And then out of the blue, all this, God begins to speak to them, begins to show them what a wretch they are, begins to show them how they've offended him. They begin to see how awful they behave towards the God that made them and has supplied them with all good things in this life. And they begin to wake up to spiritual realities. They begin to feel wretched about their sin. They begin to seek God. They begin to pray. They hardly believe it's happening. They can hardly understand it, but God seems to be working in them and showing them the truth of the gospel and that God can forgive and pardon sinners. And they begin to believe it all. And they begin to ask God's forgiveness. And they begin to turn away from that old life. And there comes a time when they're changed. They're converted. They find they worship God. They find they love him. They find that they're now assured of a place in heaven's glory. They can hardly believe it. They see that the exact opposite of what they deserve has come to them. They've repented and trusted in the Saviour and yielded their lives to him. And they humbly seek to be content with anything that God wants for them, even though they are sure of forgiveness and salvation. Yet they're amazed. They're amazed. It's as if someone has said to them secretly in their heart, "Friend, come up higher. Come up higher. I give you a place in the very highest place, in heaven itself." Is your heart and mind anything like this? The Lord Jesus says, if anyone will abase themselves, he will exalt them in due season under the mighty hand of God. Do you feel anything like this? Will you humble yourself? Will you cry out to God in prayer and say to the Lord, "Oh, forgive me, Lord. I don't deserve any heaven. I deserve the very opposite. But Lord, forgive me." I tell you, what joy and wonder will flood your soul. What amazement you will realise in your soul as he lifts you up to glory. Will you truly accept the invitation in the right spirit? And if not, the blow will be so crushing, even as this man being told to take the very lowest place, the lowest place that you'll never recover from in all eternity. Do we see what the Lord is teaching us here? It's the soul that takes the lowest place that is raised to glory itself. The soul that actually sees that he deserves only God's punishment and deserves the lowest place in hell. That soul that condemns himself, that says, that's what I deserve, and sits himself down in the place of shame, the very lowest place, he alone will hear these blessed words. Friend, friend, come up higher. Friend, come to the very highest place that heaven affords. Higher to the chief place, and all heaven will rejoice with that one. This is the way, friends. This is how the invitation is accepted. The Lord will not have it accepted in any other way but by humility and by seeking the Lord's forgiveness and his blessing, taking the lowest place, knowing what we really deserve, and from that position the Lord will lift us up. He will save us and one day bring us to glory, or that we might all accept the invitation in such a spirit that the Lord may bless our hearts. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we bless thee for such an invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and pardon and heaven itself, eternal life. Oh Lord, we come, we realise what we are, we take the lowest place. Lord, raise us up even to glory this night. We ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.